Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Well, this is my last assembly with you for this school year. The Bible says, we know not what a day will bring forth. And that's especially applicable to someone as old as me. So, while I hope that I will be able to maybe join with you in September, at least on one morning of each week, we have to just look to the Lord and submit to Him. But we do thank Him for His help, and I trust that you have benefited from all of the assemblies each week. You might know that you have been benefited until much later in life. Then you look back and say, God taught me that, and I know now something of His will and mind and purpose that is a help to me in the midst of life. It's like each meal we take. You mightn't feel any great benefits from lunch here, but it does benefit you. You grow a little as a result. Not noticeably, immediately anyway, but I look on you today, and I remember looking back a while, and I can see that your lunches have had a benefit on you, for you've grown. Well, in a much more wonderful way, the bread of heaven will benefit you, and I trust that in future times you'll look back on these days and praise the Lord for His mercy to you. We come to the last study in the series that we have been looking at, brief little series, entitled The Five Central Points of the Gospel, or the Five Most Important Doctrines in the Gospel. We have used, and we are adopting, a practice which was drawn up many, many years ago. We are using the word tulip to illustrate these five doctrines. T-U-L-I-P. T for total depravity. U for unconditional election. L for limited atonement. I for irresistible grace. And this final one, P, the perseverance of the saints. The Bible teaches us, boys and girls, that the one who is truly saved will stick on the path to heaven. They will press on to glory. Sadly, not everyone believes that who claims to be a Christian. There are Christians who I feel most foolishly believe that you can be saved and start for heaven, but then fall away and end up in hell. I say they most foolishly believe that because they rob themselves of the joy of assurance of heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that once you truly start for heaven, you're going to get there. You're going to arrive. You'll not wander off and get lost, but you will get to heaven. Now, let's start by considering the meaning of the word perseverance. It's not too unusual a word. The dictionary likens it onto endurance. If you run a marathon, that's a race of over 20 miles. You've got to have endurance. You've got to be able to keep at it. And though you may suddenly feel tired or maybe pains begin to fill your legs, and breathing is such a torture, you go on. Persistence, keeping at it. Steadfastness. That's another word that the dictionary puts up when it's explaining this word, perseverance. These all describe the spirit of the child of God. When you're born again, one of the elements of your salvation that God puts into your heart is perseverance. Perseverance. Listen to these words taken from Psalm 37, the verse 23 to 25. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 23. There's more to come from that quotation, but just let me say this, and listen to me. When you're reading the Bible, notice every word. It says, the steps of a good man. It doesn't say the life, or the day, or the hour, but it says the steps. If you're walking, the smallest movement you make when you're walking is one step. And the psalmist is here saying, each step is ordered by the Lord, controlled, ordained, planned by the Lord. Now, what a comfort that is, boys and girls. What a comfort that in life, every step we take in submission to God has been planned by Him. The psalmist goes on, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So we're warned there that in life we may stumble, we may trip, but we're not going to stay down. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The word means thrown away. Thrown away. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord has a hold of your hand. You may stumble, and it's only a stumble. You're not going to remain in that position. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The psalmist then goes on and gives a word of testimony. He says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That was the testimony of the psalmist. I have never seen one of God's people forsaken. And the psalmist knew thousands and thousands of God's people, but he had never seen one forsaken or reduced to poverty, begging bread. Boys and girls, I believe that's absolutely, literally true. God takes care of his people. We've been singing that in our opening hymn this morning. God will take care of you. Listen to further verses in this Psalm 37. It's the verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power. Now he's looking at the other section of society. Those who are not saved. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Oh, flourishing, strong, impressive. Yet he passed away. You may not know this, not keeping up with the news, but that's a verse that you could write over Mr. Putin in Russia. For while he appeared to be one of the greatest men in the world, over the last few days, he has had his branches clipped very severely. Indeed, it's reported because of trouble from among his own supporters. He had to run away and hide, get in a plane and fly away. Nobody knows where to, and they don't even know at this moment where exactly he's hiding. So what the psalmist saw, we're seeing still today. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but could not find him. That's like Mr. Putin. Nobody knows where he is. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Oh yes, there's one thing certain about the true Christian. They will persevere, and that by God's grace. Yes, they'll stumble at times, and there's not a Christian but will acknowledge that. I haven't been all I should be. I've stumbled. I went off the path for a little while, but God kept his hand upon me and brought me back again. I remember in prison in 1966, I was only saved 2 years and 3 months, and I didn't know much. But I came on a verse while I was reading my Bible. And God, in His wonderful mercy, you know, knew that I had to really read my Bible. And prison's the best place to read your Bible, because there's nothing else to do, really. And I came on this wonderful verse in the Bible. It's in Micah chapter 7, and it's a verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. Nothing makes the world happier when a Christian stumbles. But Micah rebukes the world and says, don't you laugh. Don't you be happy because I have fallen. He then goes on, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. And that was a great comfort to me. And I came back again and again and again during the time in prison to that verse. And ever since. Oh, what a comfort to know. We can say, when I fall, I shall arise. Not because of anything that's in me, but because God has me by the hand. He's holding me up. Now, secondly, I want you to notice that this perseverance is not of man. I've said that, but I want to emphasize. It's not of man, but it is of the Lord. Our going on is what God does within us. Many people, when faced with the gospel, have made the excuse. Indeed, it's a very common excuse. The very first one that people will come up with. When they are challenged by the gospel, they would say, oh, I could never keep it. If I got saved, I could never keep myself. Now, what they don't know is when they say that, they're telling the truth, but they're not telling the truth truthfully. What they say is right, but they're misapplying it. It's true. If I get saved, I cannot keep myself. But the Bible teaches me when I get saved, the Lord keeps me. I become one of His flock, and He is the good shepherd. He makes sure that all the sheep are safe and cared for. It's the devil's deception. The devil will come and say, you can't keep it. So it's a waste of time even thinking about getting saved. That's a perversion by the devil. It's true to say you can't keep it, because the Lord does the keeping. Not we ourselves. Not we ourselves. The Larger Catechism, which is a great theological document, one of the best, I think, that men have ever written, it asks a question, question number 79, may not true believers, by reason of their imperfections and the many temptations and sins they are overtaken with, fall away from the state of grace? That's a simple question. Surely man, since he's a sinner, and he's tempted, and he's not perfect, is it possible then that because of these things, he falls away from the grace of God? Well, back comes this wonderful answer. And listen to it. True believers, by reason of the unchangeable love of God, and His decree and covenant to give them perseverance, their inseparable union with Christ, they're joined to Him, His continual intercession for them, He's praying for them, and the Spirit and seed of God abiding in them, God's Spirit dwelling within us, and His Word, His seed, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's a wonderful question and a wonderful answer. Six reasons are given there, and I'll not go over them again, but six reasons why the child of God, despite their imperfections or failures, their weaknesses, despite all that, they will go to heaven. God has ordained the means by which they will be kept and preserved. You likely have a copy of the Larger Catechism at home. So look up that question 79 and its answer and maybe learn it. memorize it. The last thing I want to say is this. There are many, many scriptures that support this teaching. It's not something thought up by those who are called Calvinists. No. It is that which men have embraced because it's taught in the Bible. Now, I suppose I would have to take an awful long time going through all the verses in the Bible. But I'm going to give you some. I'm going to start over in 2 Samuel. And it's the chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. And it's the verse 5 of 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and the verse 5, it says, and this is David, and he's right at the end of his days, and here he is comforting himself as death draws on. Although my house be not so with God, oh, there's many feelings there, he says, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he maketh it not to grow. David's sure, despite the feelings that he knows in his life, undergirding him, supporting him, is the everlasting covenant and the promise to take him to heaven. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're looking at the verse 3 in that chapter 31. Chapter 31, Jeremiah, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Nobody, nobody that God has set saving love upon will go to hell. Anyone upon whom God set his saving love will most certainly go to heaven. God will never stop loving his people. Therefore, he will see to it that we persevere and go to heaven. Chapter 32 of Jeremiah, just over the page, and we're looking at the verse 40 of that chapter. 32 verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, says people, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts and they shall not depart from me. God's not going to depart from us, and he will see to it that we don't depart from him. We're going to get to heaven. That's what it's saying. Luke, turn to the New Testament. Luke chapter 22 and the verse 32. The Lord is speaking to Simon. Verse 31, Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what sifting as wheat means? Separating kernel of the wheat from the chaff. And the devil wants to shake old Peter. But the Lord says in answer to that, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted or turned back from his backsliding, strengthen thy brethren. You see, boys and girls, we stumble and fall, but there's one up there in heaven who is all the time praying for us. You forget about that. That slips out of your mind. You're thinking about that now, but our mind gets occupied with other things and we forget. But the Lord never forgets, never forgets. He's remembering you every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month of every year of your life. John chapter 10. And here I think we'll end. I could go on. I have other verses. John chapter 10, the verse 28. The Savior says about his sheep, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, is that not assurance enough, boys and girls? Does that not even if we didn't think of all the other verses I've given you and many others that I could give you, that one verse settles the matter. The child of God is going to persevere all the way to glory. Jesus has given them everlasting life. Everlasting life can't end. It can't stop. It can't cease. When you have everlasting life, you'll never die. Spiritually, you will live forever, according to God's purpose and plan. Yes, boys and girls? And isn't this a good note for me to end my last assembly this year, this academic school year, that we're going to get to heaven? And I say that to those who are saved. Now, if you're not saved, you can't take what I have said as a comfort. Rather, the opposite is the case. The opposite is the case. If you're not saved, you will never get to heaven. That's why we would say with our final breath, you make sure you're saved. Come to Christ, even today. Praise God, it's never too late. It's never too late. The voice of the Lord Jesus speaks to you. Come. The hymn writer said, I hear the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. That's what the Lord's saying today to you, if you're not saved. May you find him, may you obey him, and may you enter into everlasting salvation and know with assurance, I'm on my way to heaven, and I will arrive there. May the Lord bless his word to all hearts today, for his name's sake. The Lord bless you, keep you during the summertime. Make it a practice to read your Bible every morning. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that savingly you will apply this word to any who are not yet Christ's, and apply it, Lord, to each one here who is saved. And may there be a strengthening of their hearts and their faith. Bless our school. Take care of it in the next day or so as the term comes to a close. And then bless the children throughout the summer. And gather them together again next September. Oh, take care of our school. Let thine eye be upon it. Can we not apply what we have been saying, Lord, to the school? For it is born of thee. Hear prayer now. And bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.